Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone has had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. We are in our second week of our new sermon series called Tap Out. Over the month of September, we'll be talking all about how we need to submit to God. When it comes to our lives, we want to fight God for control. And God doesn't just smack us down. He could easily lay you out. I'm going to tell you right now that if you're going to go and fight God, you're not going to win, okay? I hate to break it to you, the news, but what he could do is he could destroy you instantly. But that's not what God does. Instead, God holds on to us, and he says to us, "Submit to me." He says, "Let me lead you. Let me be in control." And we keep fighting and fighting, and God is just nudging us over and over and over again. He's convicting us. He's saying, "You need to do something different with your life. You need to follow me." And sometimes we wince in pain and we say, "I don't want to do this." But when we're at our lowest and nothing is working out, that's when we will tap out and say, "Okay, God, I am all yours." But what is awesome when we do that is that it's not that we've lost. We're not oppressed here. It's actually the opposite. When you give in to God, you are not pushed down. You are actually lifted up. And today we're actually going to start with the same verses that we ended on last week, because these words have so much power to just motivate us and move us forward. And so we're going to read Romans 8. 31 through 39, it says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so I'm not going to go into a lot of details of what's happening in these verses. We talked about it last week, but I want to look at that first line. If God is for us, who can be against us? When you submit, when you say, "God, you are Lord of my life," and you say, "I will follow you, I am all yours," you now have God, and nothing can hurt you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can separate you from him. And that is with anything you do in this life. And this is exactly what we're focusing on today, because it's always awesome to get this type of motivation. When I read these verses, I'm like, this is great. I am motivated. Nothing is going to stop me. Nothing can separate me from God's love. It doesn't matter what's happening. But these are just ideals and ideas. Sometimes it's a lot easier when we see somebody living it out. And we have so many stories in here that show us what it looks like to live for God. How nothing can stop us. And so what we're going to be focusing on today is from Acts 5. We're going to turn to Acts 5, and that's 17 through 42. So we have a huge chunk of verses that we're going to be going over today. But what I want to do is I want to set the scene for you here. Jesus has already died. He was resurrected from the dead. He came back and he gave a mission to all his disciples and followers, and then he left them again by disappearing into the sky. The early church has already been formed. Lots of Jews are hearing the truth about Jesus Christ, and many are becoming followers of Jesus. But because they're out there preaching this, a lot of people are angry with them as well. And so we're going to see some of the story of what's going on here. We're going to read Acts 5, 17 through 42 in its entirety, and then I'll go ahead and go back and talk about what's happening. It says, "Then the high priest and all his associates who were member of the party of the Sadducees were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. 'Go stand in the temple courts,' he said, 'and tell the people all about this new life.' At daybreak, they entered the temple courts as they had been told and began to teach the people. When the high priest and his associates arrived, they called together the Sanhedrin, the full assembly of the elders of Israel, and sent to the jail for the apostles. But on arriving at the jail, the officers did not find them there. So they went back and reported, 'We found the jail securely locked, with the guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside.' On hearing this report, the captain of the temple guard and the chief priests were at a loss, wondering what this might lead to. Then someone came and said, 'Look, the men you put in jail are standing in the temple courts teaching the people.' At that, the captain went with his officers and brought the apostles. They did not use force because they feared that the people would stone them. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. 'We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name,' he said. 'Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood.' Peter and the other apostles replied, 'We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him.' When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, I'm terrible with names, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin, 'Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Thaddeus appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed. All his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas, the Galilean, appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God.' His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah." So it starts off here with some Jewish high priests and their associates, and they are upset. They're not just angry. It actually says they are jealous. And I thought this was kind of a weird note. Why are they jealous? What is bringing about this jealousy? And it's because these men, these Pharisees, they're seeing the disciples and they're ordinary men. These are not men that have gone to school for this. They haven't studied all of the things that they have studied. These are fishermen. These are ordinary men who are followers of a rabbi that they already hung on a cross and killed. And what's happening is all of these Jews are coming to them. They're getting so much attention. They're actually taking people away from the rabbis and from the Sadducees. They're taking them away from their teachings. And ultimately, what was happening is they were taking away their power. So these Pharisees, these men of God, they are so upset about how much buzz there is around these followers of Jesus. So what else could they do? Well, this is kind of the first thing that the Pharisees love to do. They have them arrested, because what else are you going to do here? Now, there are multiple stories of the disciples being imprisoned. And there are always these amazing, miraculous stories when you go through them. And we can learn so much from them. But this one here is really short, and I find it kind of funny because there's not a lot of information. So angry priests have them arrested for teaching and preaching about Jesus. That same night, we find out that all of a sudden an angel of God shows up, and all he pretty much says is, "Nope, we're not doing this. You're out of prison. I want you to go teach back in the temple." We know nothing else of what happened. What happens is they walk out, they walk free, and they go do what they're told. Now, when you look at the other stories of them in prison, there's like some earthquake and the doors open and their chains fall off, or they're in prison and all the guards are put to sleep and all the doors are open and we see Peter just walk right out the front door. But in this talking here of what happened, it just says an angel shows up and says, "Yeah, you're free." And it was so confusing for everybody. The confusion is in verses 21 through 24. The high priests, they wake up to start their day. They say it's time to deal with these men that follow Jesus. They go and look in the cells that are locked, that have guards there, and it's just a, whoops, where are they? They were all confused. They didn't understand what was going on. Until we see them again in verse 25, and all of a sudden they're pointed out, and someone goes, Aren't those the guys? Weren't they supposed to be in prison? I'm pretty sure they're back in the temple and they're preaching about Jesus again. And it was like a magic act. They're wondering, how did they get out? Like, what's going on here? And what's awesome about this story is we don't get the details. You know how they got out? God. That's it. I know we want to hear all the details. Well, what happened? Did God put a spell on them? Did he blind them? Or did they have like a portal that opened up and they walked through? Or what is it? And it's just one of those, it doesn't matter. All we know is that they were in prison and God was like, "Nope, you're free. Go do your thing. Go do what we told you to do." And so there's a lot of confusion, and they're not sure what to do. But what we're finding out is these disciples, they didn't care either. They tapped out to God. They didn't question on, how is this going to work? Okay, are we going to sneak around? Okay, you knock out that guard. No, that didn't happen. They just said, "Okay, you got this, God. We trust you. We're submitting to you." But the Jews, they want some answers, and things are weird. So they don't make a scene. They're like, these men, they do a lot of weird things. They're talking about Jesus. The people like them. And so we need to make sure that we take them in, but we'll do it quietly. So verse 26, it says that they did not use force because they were afraid that the people in the town are going to stone them, because they have no clue what's actually happening here. And what's amazing is they've already been arrested once. The disciples, they go with them. They say, "Okay." And they go with them anyways. They cannot keep the disciples down or stop them from preaching about Jesus. So what happens is they're brought before what is called the Sanhedrin. Now, a lot of us don't understand what this is, but this is their court of law. This is something where they can decide whether you live or die. These are like the big honchos. This is not where you want to be. These are the same guys that Jesus stood in front of. They found him guilty. They wanted him dead. They did kill him, but you can't keep Jesus down. We know that. Thank God for that. But they're saying, you know what? We're going to tell these disciples what's what. We're going to show them. We're going to threaten them. So verse 28, I love it here because the Jews, I can just imagine them, you know, they don't have any power and they know they don't have any power. And they just, then they go, hey, stop it. I don't like what you're doing. You can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. And then they're like, and you keep telling people that we killed him. We didn't do that. That makes us look bad. Stop telling everybody that we murdered the Messiah. And of course, Peter just says, you kind of did. Yeah, that's kind of how that worked out. And so things are not looking good for them. And so they start saying, well, things are going to happen to you. And they're hoping to scare these men into submission. They're saying to the disciples, we want you to tap out to us. We want you to submit to us. They're saying, you have lost. We will hurt you. We will break you. And we will win. But verse 29 is what we should all be saying. First, you stand up and you say, no, 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 no. We must obey God rather than human beings. They said, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do to me. I will not tap out and submit to you. Sorry, not sorry. I submit to one and one alone. I obey God, not man. No matter what you say and do, I'm going to follow the one true God. This line alone should empower us. Peter here is facing persecution, beatings, torture, even death. And he says to them, I don't care what you're going to do. I follow God and God alone. We should have this same strength as Peter. The world is telling us, you have to live for what makes you happy. And we need to stand up and say, no, I will not. I'm not here to be happy. Actually, I'm going to submit myself to God and I'm going to have unending joy. Your happiness will fade. And they'll say things like, well, it's all about what's going to make you feel good here and now. And you need to stand up and say, no, it is not. My life is not to feel good, to give myself pleasures. Life is actually about glorifying God and telling everybody about the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. I've heard people say, well, you know what? We have to bend the Bible slightly. You need to change your interpretation. Times are different. That was 2,000 years ago. And we need to stand up and say, no, the Word of God is perfect truth. It is infallible. It will never change. It will be the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. And guess what? Following God and His Word, it is never outdated. It will never fail. And it will never end. And then the one that most of us are going to hear, the world tells us, keep your religion and your thoughts about God to yourself. And we need to stand up and say, no, I will not keep this hidden. I'm not going to hide this to myself. I'm going to speak and act in love as God has commanded us to do so. I will go out there and I will let every single person know the hope that I have because He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me for a price that I could never pay. All of this should empower us. Most of us are not facing being beaten physically, being imprisoned and killed for following Jesus. Throughout the New Testament, we can see this over and over again. Peter and the followers of Christ, they are told to stop. Stop following God. Stop teaching about Jesus. And if you don't stop, bad things are going to happen to you. And how do the followers of Christ respond? They say, okay, you can beat and destroy our bodies. That's fine. Don't worry. I'm going to have a new one soon enough. When we leave here, God promises us we'll have a new body. So beat and break this one. You already did it to Jesus. Go ahead and do it to me too, because I'm going to have a new one. And they say, fine, then we won't beat and torture you. We're going to kill you. And they say, okay, kill us. You're sending us to be with our Father in a place of perfection and bliss. Oh no! How horrible is that? And let me tell you, guess what? You kill me. The life that I've lived here for Christ, you've just made me a martyr, a symbol to empower others to follow God closer. And they say, fine, you know what? Then we won't kill you. We'll lock you away. We'll put you in prison. And they say things like, oh, good. There are a couple people that I could really talk to in there. There are people in there that need to know about Jesus Christ. Well, we'll separate you. Well, there'll be some guards. They'll hear my praises. Don't worry about it. And when you hear these things, the proper response is, what? What do we do to stop these Christians? It's because there's nothing you can do. When you submit to God, when you tap out and let Him lead every single area of your life, nothing can stop you. It says we are more than conquerors. Stop living in fear and live for Him. And then we get back to Acts verse 33. With Peter's response, they are furious. They want to kill him. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, so I don't know if that's right, and every time I've looked at it, I'm not going to lie to you, all I see is Gargamel. And if you don't know who Gargamel is, he's the bad guy from the Smurfs. His name is not Gargamel, but some people were telling me the interpretation. And so at first service, I said, Gamaliel. And they're like, no, it's Gamaliel. And I'm like, that sounds even closer to Gargamel. That's not good. I am not going to get that right. But what happens is this Pharisee, he says, wait. He says, this isn't going to go well for us here in the Sanhedrin if we make them martyrs. You're just going to further their mission. And he gives them some examples of what happened to those who had a leader that was killed. Everybody just disperse and they leave. But as a God-fearing Jew, he says something amazing. It's something that we all need to follow as well. Verse 39, he says, but if this is from God, you won't be able to stop them. And it's because you won't be fighting against men. You're going to be fighting against God. This Pharisee knows that when someone is following God, when someone has submitted to God, and they're doing what God has asked, they're going to be unstoppable no matter what. This is all of us. When you are a follower of Christ, and you're letting Him lead in all aspects of your life, there is no failure. There is no stopping you. But you have to tap out to God first and allow Him to lead. Then we get to see what they do with the disciples in verse 40. This is also kind of amusing and horrible at the same time. So you have the Sanhedrin, and they go, fine, we'll listen to this guy, and we're going to let him go, but we're going to beat him first. So they bring them all in, and they're like, you see this? We're going to flog you. So they beat them over and over again, and then they let them go. It's almost like a warning. This is just a step of what is to come if you do not stop doing this. Does it break their spirits? Nope. Actually, verse 41, the disciples are bruised and bleeding, and we see that they are excited. They think this is awesome. They're walking out of there probably all beat up. Oh, dude, we just got beat up for preaching the good news about Jesus. This is amazing. You know why this is amazing? This is exactly what Jesus said would happen. He said we'd be hated. He said we would be beaten. And it's all because we are representing him well. That means that we look like him and they want to kill us too. And they're walking out and they're battered and bruised and they think it is fantastic. It's almost like saying, man, I must be showing Jesus to these people so much that they're going to beat me like they did him. That doesn't discourage them at all. Instead, they keep going. They keep preaching in the temple. They now are going house to house to tell everyone about how amazing Jesus is. Imagine if we all had that same fire, that same zeal and love for Christ, that we walk away from a beating saying, oh, it hurts, but that was awesome. This is so great. It's okay. You can beat me. I guess I'm doing something right. I'm going to tell you, if you find that everyone likes what you preach and what you say, you're probably doing it wrong. So I heard a pastor recently preaching, and he said, we say all the time, we want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. But for some reason, we want to be like Jesus, but more liked, more popular. I want to be the popular Jesus. You know, I want everybody to like me. I want to say things that don't hurt people's feelings. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to speak truth in love. We are called to live for him completely, that no matter what others are going to do to us, no matter what they say to us, we're going to stay strong and we're going to follow him completely. Make sure that you are submitting every aspect of your life to God. And when you do, you're going to find yourself unstoppable for Christ. And that's what brings me to the challenge for this week. If you have never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, take the step today and let's talk. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about why giving your life to God will be the greatest thing that you ever do. For those of you who are followers of Christ, it's time to step it up. It's time to stand out, to change the world in his name. There is nothing anyone can do to you that will change how much God loves you. So I heard an awesome prayer from a fellow pastor here in Grove City. We were praying together, and he said these words that I love. He said, let's make it hard to go to hell in Grove City. That's fantastic. And the truth is, though, it's not going to just be me. It's not going to just be the other pastor here in Grove City. It's going to be you guys, the church, the people here who are following Christ. You are the ones that are going to make it hard for people in Grove City to go to hell. Stand up, stand for God, submit to his will, and you will be a force to be reckoned with.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.